It's 6:30 p.m. I call to order the November 10th, 2020 business meeting of Simpsonville City Council. City Clerk Long, will you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Biggs? Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Houlihan?
Here.
Councilmember Roche?
Here.
Councilmember Cummings?
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Here.
Mayor Schumacher?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Clerk Long. Next item on our agenda is approval of the minutes. Are there any corrections to the minutes of October 13th, 2020? Councilmember Gooch.
I'm getting a lot of background noise. Everybody, please make sure the microphones are turned off unless they're speaking. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember. See no members of council who are suggesting any corrections. I have one. On item number under business A1, there's a repetition of the phrase to approve resolution number 2020-06. So if you could strike that repetition, I believe that's all that I saw. Are there any other corrections to the minutes?
Thank you.
Hearing no other corrections, the minutes will stand approved as amended. All right, the fourth item under our agenda for presentations, under item A, I have a proclamation for Small Business Saturday, which I will read at this time. It says presentations, but this is in fact a proclamation. Whereas the government of Simpsonville, South Carolina, celebrates our local small businesses and the contributions they make to our local economy and community, according to the United States Small Business Administration, there are 30.7 million small businesses in the United States. They represent 99.7% of all firms with paid employees in the United States, are responsible for 64.9% of net new jobs created from 2000 to 2018, and whereas small businesses employ 47.3% of the employees in the private sector in the United States, 62% of U.S. small businesses reported that they need to see consumer spending return to pre-COVID levels by the end of 2020 in order to stay in business. 65% of U.S. small business owners said it would be most helpful to their business to have their regulars return and start making purchases again. And 3/4 of U.S. consumers are currently looking for ways to shop small and support their community. And whereas 96% of consumers who shopped on Small Business Saturday agree that shopping at small, independently owned businesses supports their commitment to making purchases that have a positive social, economic, and environmental impact, and 97% of consumers who shopped on Small Business Saturday agree that small businesses are essential to their community, and whereas 95% of consumers who shopped on Small Business Saturday reported the day makes them want to shop or eat at small, independently owned businesses all year long, not just during the holiday season. And whereas Simpsonville, South Carolina supports our local businesses that create jobs, boost our local economy, and preserve our community. And whereas advocacy groups, as well as public and private organizations across the country have endorsed the Saturday after Thanksgiving as Small Business Saturday, now therefore, I, Paul Shoemaker, Mayor of Simpsonville, South Carolina, do hereby proclaim November 28th, 2020 as Small Business Saturday and urge the residents of our community and communities across the country to support small businesses and merchants on Small Business Saturday and throughout the year. We definitely support small businesses and we definitely hope that all of our citizens will go back to local places they shop and eat, and especially on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, but throughout the year. The next item of business is an update from the Chamber of Commerce. Allison McGarity, the president of the Simpsonville Chamber of Commerce, is with us. I believe she's with us. I thought I saw her name. Yes, she is here. Allison?
Hello, everyone. Thank you. My update tonight is focused on our holiday events as well.
So I wanted to give you guys a rundown and kind of the overview of what we are doing for the holiday season around the Simpsonville area. We've been talking with Justin at City Hall about marketing and branding all of this under one general umbrella. So I'm going to tell you the events and then kind of bring it all back around to the umbrella part of it. The first event that we're going to be doing is on Saturday, November 21st. We're going to do a holiday market in the Five Forks area. And it'll be located at Southside Christian School, and we're going to do it pretty much all day. I think 9 to 4 on that Saturday is the event times. So we're currently recruiting vendors. We're looking for arts and crafts folks and definitely local people who would typically be able to do tons of markets like these in the holiday season, but are looking to be limited this year. So we're doing that to kind of meet that need and pushing that out. So that'll be the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And then for the Saturday after Thanksgiving, which is obviously Small Business Saturday, we're gonna kind of use that as an opportunity to kick off, but kind of continue overall seasonal push for shopping local, and then highlighted and like punctuated with Small Business Saturday. So for us, shopping small is definitely good. Shopping local is also amazing. So we are going to be pushing shopping local. Justin's going to help us communicate plans with city businesses. We will be communicating our plans with all of our chamber members that are potentially located inside and outside city limits. And between the two of us, we're going to manage an online form and watch and allow businesses to submit what kind of things they're doing through the holidays for us to promote digitally and virtually. So all of our small business stuff will be virtual, but we'll be doing it throughout the holiday season with, again, that kind of punctuation on November 28th. The Christmas parade will be on Sunday, December 6th. We're doing a drive-through Christmas parade this year instead of the typical parade down Main Street. So we've relocated the event to Heritage Park. The parade entries will be stationed and positioned in a stationary location along the route, which will be Dennis Waldrop Way, and then the public and spectators will drive through the park and view the entries. So it's basically, like other communities have called it, a reverse parade. It seems to be pretty successful, and it's just a way to mitigate some of the larger crowds that would gather on the streets to watch the parade. Instead, we're keeping, obviously, families in their own cars, and then the parade entries theoretically have either been together this whole time anyway, or will also be able to social distance and have plenty of space to be there and present their business as people drive by. We brought the theme back to the parade this year, and we'll also be awarding one prize. Well, I think we're going to do first, second, and third place, but it'll just be one overall People's Choice award that we'll give out this year. So it's been a few years since we've done theme. It's been wanting to bring it back for a couple of years now, so it made a lot of sense to do it this year. And then we feel like the awards will just help people get more excited about it overall and help our parade entries feel just a little more motivated to decorate their entry in keeping with the theme. I'll come back to the theme in a minute, but the next event and the last one that we have on the calendar for our holiday public events is going to be Friday, December 11th. And this one is in the very, very beginning stages of planning, and it's coming up super quick. So things are going to happen pretty quickly in the next week or two, but we are envisioning a kind of a holiday-themed sippin' in Simpsonville. It will most likely be a wine tasting, similar, if not the same format to past events, with some extra COVID-related precautions, and then the holiday theme kind of layered over it. So we'd love to pull in some extra businesses that might not typically be able to participate in those events based on when they fall in the calendar or whatever. But we think this will be another opportunity to highlight our local stores. And this will be obviously downtown on Main Street. So it'll kind of bring everything full circle from the beginning of the holiday season for us in Five Forks back to this. And the theme that we are umbrellaing everything with is just home for the holidays, playing off of the Simply Home tagline with the new city's branding. And then the parade's theme specifically will be home for the holidays, which obviously is a pretty kind of general, easy theme for people to incorporate into their decorations and plans for the event. So Justin is working on some graphics for us. We're working on logistics for all these events and putting kind of the all the little things together to make them happen. But that is the overall plan. I know there's been some feedback from the community on holiday markets and things like that. So we hope we're meeting the need, but we're definitely open to any feedback or questions that you guys have about what we're doing.
Thank you. Any comments for Ms. McGarrity? All right, thank you very much. We'll move on to the citizen. Thank you. We'll move on to the citizen comments section. We received none for this evening's meeting. I will tell those of you who are watching our live feed that we do invite citizen comments. You can do that by leaving a message on my phone at City Hall or by recording a message and sending it in via email. We do limit your comments to 3 minutes. That's the same as if you were meeting in person. So it is a 3-minute limit either way. But we do invite public comment and hope you will take advantage of that. Our contact information is available on simpsonville.com/council. Can help you with submitting a comment if you like. Under business, item A, SP-2020-08, Burdette Central ID major change. Our Planning and Economic Development Director, Jason Knudsen, will you summarize for us, please?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor and Council. So before you, there's a major change to Burdette Innovative Development. This came to light with a use that wants to go in the upstairs, which we would normally consider as a light assembly needed for the industrial district, which kind of brought to light that maybe the statement of intent needed to define uses a little bit more clear. So Diane and I both went over and kind of got an idea and met with the company wanting to be up there and met with representatives for the project and really got a picture of what this assembly was. And, you know, it doesn't involve any machinery, big trucks and deliveries. It's very simply somebody sitting and hand assembling a product which is very small. It just has a few pieces to it, and it's delivered in U.S. mail. We go and deliver, you know, drop off the post office. So we kind of met with what maybe parameters needed to be set in that statement of intent. I think they did a good job of capturing that, and that's been included in your staff report. In the proposed statement of intent under the permitted uses, it pretty much allows things of being business limited, business general, business urban, which are normally consistent with that area, but also allows for a few things like this light assembly, and they've given some parameters to it, so it's not just an open-ended, you know, anybody can come and do something, but also kind of takes care of construction services and that normally need a special exception. If they're only doing administrative work, this would allow them to be able to not have to go for a special exception. So those are kind of the main things to take away from that. The last Tuesday, the Planning Commission reviewed this. It was also a public hearing for the item. And by a vote of 4-0, the Planning Commission does recommend approval of the proposed statement of intent changes.
Thank you, Mr. Knudsen. Motion is in order. Councilmember Houlihan?
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to move that Council approve SP-2020-08, Burdette Central Innovative Development Major Change.
Second.
All right, I have a motion from Councilmember Houlihan with a second from Councilmember Cummings to approve SP-2020-08, Burdette Central ID Major Change. Discussion? See no one raising their hand or requesting the floor. I have one comment or one question, Mr. Knudsen. Would this change allow for a clock repair shop?
Well, let me look. if they're doing assembly activities, quite possibly. Again, I'd have to look to see what the clock repair fell under again, to see if it would be something. It does cover quite a few of the different uses, but I can't say definitively without my zoning ordinance up in front of me what it would cover that.
Okay. Any other comments or questions for Mr. Knutson? Okay. As there are no further comments or questions, I'll call for the roll call vote on the motion to approve SP-2020-08 Burdette Central ID major change. Clerk Long, will you do a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Gooch?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Houlihan?
Yes.
Councilmember Roche?
Yes.
Councilmember Cummings? Councilmember Cummings? Councilmember Hutchings?
Yes.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Yes.
Councilmember Cummings, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm sorry. That was a yes for me.
All right, thank you very much. Motion carried.
Thank you, Clerk Long. The next item on the agenda is SP-2020-06, Waterleaf at Neely Ferry ID, major change. Mr. Knutson, will you summarize for us, please?
Sure. This is the same item that came before you at the committee of the whole, where phase two for Waterleaf at Neely Ferry Innovative Development Department Complex is looking to change that phase to include additional apartment units, but to also bring forward spaces that would be for individual rent for business or an office space. Nothing has changed since the committee as a whole.
Thank you, Mr. Knutson. A motion is in order. Councilmember Hutchings.
Mayor and Council, I'll make a motion to approve SP-2020-06 Waterleaf at Neely Ferry ID.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with a second from Councilmember Kelly to approve SP-2020-06 Waterleaf at Neely Ferry ID major change. Discussion? Hearing none, we'll call for the vote on that motion to approve SP-2020-06, Waterleaf at Neely Ferry ID major change. Clerk Long, will you do a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Gooch?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Houlihan?
Yes.
Councilmember Roche?
Yes.
Councilmember Cummings?
Yes.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Yes.
Someone needs to turn their mic off. We can hear the TV.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Clerk Long. The next item on the agenda is the first reading of Ordinance Number 2020-03, Comprehensive Plan. Planning and Economic Development Director Jason Knutson, will you summarize, please?
Will do. So this, since the whole this did go before the Planning Commission, is also advertised as a public hearing for the item as well. There was no public comment at that meeting, and by unanimous vote of 4-0, the Planning Commission does recommend approval of the document. Just a couple things to note. Been getting a lot of good feedback about the document, what's in it. Diana had mentioned today that she had had a meeting with the realtors and the builders associations, and both of them were ready to pretty much sign a letter of support. They thought it was really well done put together, so I think we're on a good track to having a great document for the city.
Thank you, Mr. Knutson. The motion is in order. Councilmember Kelly?
I make a motion to approve on first reading ordinance 2020-03 comprehensive plan.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Kelly with a second by Councilmember, was that you, Councilmember Hutchings? Councilmember Hutchings, to approve first reading of ordinance number 2020-03 comprehensive plan. Discussion? Councilmember Roche?
Mr. Knudsen, could you just clarify for anybody that might be watching, that's been seeing a lot of questions online and received a couple of emails. Clarify for people the difference between the comprehensive plan and the master plan that we're working on for downtown.
Certainly. So the downtown master plan is very site-specific. It doesn't have as broad of a scope. So those are ideas and directions that we'd like to go focusing on just our downtown. The comprehensive plan really covers the entire city. So we're not just looking at one area. Now, different elements may look at different areas of the city, but overall the document is for how we are going to grow the city for the next 10 to 20 years.
Councilmember Houlihan?
I just have a follow-up to Ms. Roche's question, because last time I had asked you about the inability to hold public meetings for feedback for this particular project because of COVID, and you had mentioned that you had received some feedback, though, through the master plan process for downtown. So as a follow-up, I'm just asking, you feel like you got enough feedback regarding non-downtown areas from the public for the comprehensive plan?
Yeah, I do. The comments we received from the downtown master plan are very in line with what we get from other public meetings we've had for the past few years. Also, the downtown, while that plan is specific to it, we were getting comments from other areas during that process. And really, it's an area that's growing very quickly, and so a lot of those concerns of traffic and density and aesthetics even really do apply to the other areas of the city as well. Now, it might not have touched on housing as much, but I have been part of other committees and things with county, and where there's been some feedback from communities. And so I think all of that brought together, we were able to use that as a good picture of what the community's looking for, what our issues and concerns are, and what things need to be addressed in the town.
And then you just said something about Ms. Gracely had heard from the Realtors Association and, I don't know if you said, the Small Business Association?
Yeah.
Builders. So we're talking about feedback from the public with concerns about traffic and density and that sort of thing. And then we have these realtors and builders who are also excited about the plan. What particular aspects are they excited about in terms
They're excited about the plan's emphasis on infill and smart growth as opposed to that sprawl that I mentioned in the community whole. They're really taking an approach where we are encouraging redevelopment of parcels that might not be the highest and best use, and also to go kind of fill in those holes, whether it be in a neighborhood or in a commercial district. Infill is definitely, we are seeing a lot of it right now, so we want to encourage it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or questions from the council? So I will reiterate that what I mentioned during the Committee of the Whole meeting, that I think that we need to be careful that this doesn't turn into a ring binder on the shelf. And having spent some time with this between that meeting and this meeting, I have to say that there are a lot of items in this plan, and there's a very good summary of all the action plans that Mr. Knudsen put together. Kind of looks like this. That page is in each section, and then there's a place where that's all consolidated together into one section. I counted up dozens of items that don't depend on developers coming to us and asking for permission, the things that we need to be proactive on. And I will say, Mr. Knudsen, you, as the person who owns the plan, you put yourself down for an awful lot of those responsibilities. I wish you the best of luck, but I know you'll get a lot of help from the staff members around you. But it is ambitious. And so I do recommend that, I think you've got the framework for it, but kind of keep this alive and be ready to come back to council maybe a year from now and talk about progress we've made against these things. I think that there are tremendous things in this plan, I think, that are very, very good, some things that I think will be very, very challenging. But I do commend you on your work. It's very good work. Good job. So, if there are no other comments or questions from council, then on the motion to approve on first reading, ordinance number 2020-03, comprehensive plan, a roll call vote is called for. Clerk Long?
Councilmember Gooch?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Houlihan?
Yes.
Councilmember Roche?
Yes.
Councilmember Cummings?
Yes.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Yes.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Clerk Long. Next item on the agenda is first reading of ordinance number 2020-04, Swamp Rabbit Trail. City Administrator Gracely, will you summarize for us, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. As we discussed in Committee of the Whole, this is the same ordinance that was adopted by Greenville County, the City of Greenville, and the City of Travel Rest, all of whom have sections of the Swamp Rabbit Trail in their jurisdiction. As you know, we have 0.9 miles of what will eventually be deemed to the entire Swamp Rabbit Trail. And so we want to incorporate the same rules governing that section of trail and as we move forward into future phases of our trail development. Predominantly, the reason for this is to prevent motorized vehicles from being on the trail. And Ms. Roche may want to weigh in when there's discussion on this. We do have vehicles pulling across the trail to park, and it's damaging the armadillo barriers that we have there. So we need some enforcement tool that the police department can use to prevent that from happening. That's the main reason why Chief Hanshaw and I wanted to bring this to you. The other is to have a speed limit on the trail because there are cyclists, not me, who can ride more than 20 miles per hour on the trail, and for safety reasons we want to limit that speed to 20 miles an hour or less for cyclists, and then also prevent solicitation and sale of items along the trail. So those are the main things that this ordinance would accomplish.
Thank you, Administrator Gracely. A motion is in order. Councilmember Cummings?
I make a motion to approve on first reading ordinance 2020/04, Swamp Rabbit Trail.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Cummings with a second from Councilmember Roche to approve on first reading ordinance number 2020-04, Swamp Rabbit Trail. Discussion? Councilmember Roche?
So, as Ms. Gracely mentioned, we just had an incident today where my family was walking the portion of the trail downtown, and a large white SUV drove over the trail and parked on that brick area next to the tracks. And in the process of doing that, broke one of the armadillos completely off. So I had mentioned to Diana that had happened, and you know, it's one more reason that we need to have some sort of ordinance in place, something for the police to enforce the rules and to have some sort of a penalty for breaking them, not just for safety, but because the city has to keep repairing these, you know, things over and over again. So I'd like to see this ordinance passed.
Any other comments or questions from the council? Councilmember Gooch.
The opening of the new facility there at Vaughn's, people aren't parking where the old Pumpkin Patch used to be, crossing the barrier. Is there some way we can possibly accommodate the parking? Are we trying to eliminate them going there completely?
So we, if you recall, when they came to council for rezoning with their ID, they had initially shown parking there, and staff advised that that was not going to be allowable because we were in the process of developing the trail at that time. We are coming up with creative ways to keep vehicles from doing that. We've already ordered two bike racks that are actually in the shape of bicycles. They're very attractive. They're going to have the city brand on them. And we're going to strategically locate those where vehicles can't drive onto that section that doesn't have a bollard or the armadillos to access parking there. So we're going to do that. We're also going to put up some new parking signs. And perhaps even with the section, when Ms. O'Shea called to tell me what had happened today, we're looking at possibly placing some bike racks and some picnic tables in that brick paved area to, you know, be a more subtle way of letting people know it's not meant for vehicular traffic. Of course, we don't want to line the entire trail with signage because that's not very attractive, but we're using whatever options we have available to keep that from happening. And once the ordinance goes into effect, then police can cite vehicles for crossing over the trail because that will be a motorized vehicle on the trail.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any other discussion or questions from council? Hearing none, then we will call for a vote on the first reading of Ordinance 2020-04, Swamp Rabbit Trail. Clerk Long, please conduct a roll call vote.
Councilmember Gooch.
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Councilmember Houlihan.
Yes.
Councilmember Roche.
Yes.
Councilmember Cummings.
Yes.
Member Hutchins?
Yes.
Mayor Schumacher?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Clerk Long. Next item on our agenda is executive session. Councilmember Gooch?
I want to run off the board first.
Councilmember Kelly, can you mute your microphone, please? Thank you. Does that address your concern, Councilmember Gooch?
No, I actually just, I want to mention that tomorrow is Veterans Day, and we are grateful and proud and very considerate of all those who have served. We have a tremendous veteran community in our town and throughout the strip. And this year, because of circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to do as much as we normally do. And I just want to acknowledge that we have a large group of veterans and families in this area, and I'm grateful for everything they have done and continue to do to keep us free. Thank you.
Thank you, Council Member. Okay, next item on the agenda is executive session. A motion is in order. Council Member Houlihan?
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to move that council go into executive session for the receipt of legal advice concerning Groundsville versus the City of Simpsonville et al. On coming out of executive session, council may vote on items discussed during executive session.
Thank you. I have a motion from Councilmember Houlihan with a second from Councilmember Gooch to go into executive session for the purpose of Councilmember Kelly.
I was gonna say, I guess what I would like to do, I again am going to recuse myself. I apologize to my citizens, my constituents.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Councilmember Kelly. So, we have a motion from Councilmember Houlihan with a second by Councilmember Gooch to go into executive session for the purpose of the receipt of legal advice concerning Brownsville v. City of Stinsonville et al. Coming out of executive session, council may vote on items discussed during executive session. Is there discussion or questions? Hearing none, and I will call for a roll call vote on the motion. Clerk Long, will you conduct a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Gooch?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes, no.
Councilmember Houlihan?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Shea?
Yes.
Councilmember Cummings?
Yes.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Yes.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Clerk Long. At this time, Simpsonville City Council will go into executive session for the receipt of legal advice concerning Brownsville v. City of Simpsonville et al. On coming out of executive session, council may vote on items discussed during executive session. We will end the live stream. Mr. Campbell, if you will take care of that for us, we will return to the live stream if we have any items to vote on after we have met in executive session. If we have no items to vote on, then we will adjourn from executive session. Thank you for attending.